Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Well, guess what, everybody? seems to me we're having a little problem here. I see what the problem is. All right, anyway, hello, welcome to Close Up Talk Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Jim is not with us today, and so I am taking his place. And it's nice to have you with us. I hope everything is fine with you. You know, I love doing these shows because we have the opportunity to meet so many very interesting people who do so many different things, and they come from all walks of life. Today, we're going to be focusing on what it's like to operate and function a nonprofit organization. And if that includes you, my goodness, you should definitely want to hear this. This is going to be most interesting to you. You know, operating nonprofits is extremely challenging, and it can be even more overwhelming than running a for-profit business. Nonprofit management includes handling all of the administrative and managerial needs, fundraising, relationship management, strategy implementation, and leadership development, just to name a few areas of expertise that are required for success. And no matter how skilled the 501c organization executive may be, realistically, he or she will not have all the particular skill and knowledge needed to manage the complex layers of nonprofit management. In order to reap success, nonprofit leaders have to gather appropriate expertise both internally and externally, seeking out highly qualified professionals to help them grow and develop sustainable strategies is an optimal solution for driving organizational success and achieving mission fulfillment. And we're going to be talking to someone just like that today who does exactly that. Her name is Cecilia Sepp. She's a principal and the founder of Rogue Tulips Consulting. She's a highly experienced and sought-after nonprofit management consultant, and she's a leader in her profession of nonprofit management and also an advocate for professional development for nonprofit professionals. She has been doing this a long time, folks, all the way up the ladder. And in addition to her work with clients and developing education for nonprofit professionals, Cecilia is also the host of her own podcast, Radio Free 501c, where guests with her discuss current trends and themes affecting the nonprofit sector today. I'll give you all the information on how you can hear those broadcasts. Also, she has a great website. I'll fill you in on that after we get going. So let's get into this subject. It's one we rarely talk about, and I think it's fascinating that Cecilia's taking the time out today to talk to us. So let's join her now. She's based in Silver Spring, Maryland, in the Washington suburbs. Again, her name is Cecilia Sepp, and her company, interestingly, is called Rogue Tulips Consulting. Rogue Tulips Consulting. I don't know, Cecilia, you got to tell me how you came up with that name. Explain that for us. Can you do that?
I sure can, Doug. Thanks for asking. And I do get that question a lot, believe it or not. So just really quickly, I came up with this name because when I moved into my house where I'm living now about 7 years ago or so, I looked out in one of the garden beds. I have seven garden beds, so I love to garden. So I look out in the garden bed on the south side of the house, and these beautiful yellow tulips start coming up. And I'm like, oh, well, this is fantastic. This is a much nicer surprise than some of those surprises you find when you move into a different house, like clogged drains and things like that.
Exactly.
Then the next spring, I'm on the north side of the house looking out the window, and I see tulips growing in the lawn outside of the garden box. And I said to my husband, we have rogue tulips. There's rogue tulips in the front lawn. And we started laughing. And I said, you know, if I ever have another company, I'm going to name it Rogue Tulips. And he said, or it would be a great band name. So I wrote it down, stuck it on my bulletin board. And when I decided to start another company, that's where the name came from. It's a true story.
Well, you got a good answer for it. No question. Interestingly, you really can't tell what your firm is all about by looking at the name. But, you know, you've been in this field for a long, long time. Let's talk a little bit about your background, especially in the 501c area code, you know, nonprofit areas, and explain
yes.
then why you founded this firm. Okay? go back. I know you've doing been doing a good many years. Tell me about it.
I actually Ronald Reagan was still president when I started. I was but a babe, fresh out of college.
Okay.
When I started working in the nonprofit area. Like many people, when they first came to Washington, D.C. with a dream and a suitcase, I start working at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and had an entry-level position there. And that's where I first was exposed to the whole concept of what a nonprofit organization does. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the national one. Everybody probably knows their local Chamber of Commerce. We have one right here in Silver Spring. But that whole concept of a business league, of coming together, of people helping each other make their businesses better, and every aspect of nonprofit management, whatever we're doing, if we're helping a profession improve their performance, if we're helping an industry make a product safer, if we're a foundation or a charity and we're giving people the basic things they need, or we're giving them an opportunity to excel, to take a class they might not have the opportunity to take or to learn a new skill, we're making the world a better place. And we're making our small part of the world a better place, and that's why it matters. And that's why I do it. And I've had many different points in my career arc along the way.
Well, tell me about it a little bit. I'm intrigued what it was that brought you to this arena to begin with. You know, you're from Missouri. You land in Washington. I guess everybody, you know, there's so many people who come to Washington out of college, and I want to go there and go to work in D.C. What was it that made you want to get involved in this area? Do you recall?
Well, you know, I do, actually. So first of all, I have to go back even farther before even Reagan was president. So let's go all the way back to the 20th century. So when I was a child growing up in St. Louis, my parents set an excellent example of why we should all contribute to the world around us. And I grew up watching that. Now, my parents did not do this professionally. They did not work for nonprofit groups professionally, but they volunteered regularly and frequently. Not only did they volunteer at our local church, but they also were really active in our neighborhood association and the clubs that went around that. They volunteered at our local school, and they just showed me the difference that a person can make just by doing what they can. And so over the years, I watched this, and I found a voice to speak up, not just for myself, but to speak up for other people. And I also learned that from my parents, just watching them, seeing how they interacted with our neighbors, seeing how they were helpful to people. People came to my parents for advice. And I said to myself, you know, if I am half that good as a grown-up, then I will think I have been a success, because my parents set that example for me. And I followed it. And I learned as an adult when I got out of school that you could get a career in nonprofit management, which I did not know in college. But why did I come to Washington, D.C.? Because I majored in political science, and I thought
okay.
I wanted to be in politics. And then I come to Washington, find out what it's really like, and I'm like, I think I want to have a different career. because I used to do policy analysis. I was a policy analyst, an issue manager, as we used to call it. And I also was a lobbyist for a brief amount of time. And I realized I actually believe in what I'm doing, and I believe in what I'm saying. And there's a lot of jaded attitude, at least there was then. I mean, the world, the attitude in the world is very different now, I think we all know, because of the lockdown of 2020 and 2021. But, you know, at the time, politics, when I really saw it up close and personal, I was like, this is really jaded, you know. And as a young person, I was very involved in politics locally because that was something else my parents did. So growing up in St. Louis, we were very involved. My very first volunteer position, I was 14 years old. I was the lawn sign coordinator for a local mayoral campaign.
At 14?
And so people would call
Good
me
for
up.
You.
At 14. No,
wow.
Thank you. So
yeah.
I've always kind of been involved, done what I can do. You know, and as I got older and matured and got more experience, I just came up with the saying that I live by, do what you can, when you can, with what you've got.
Well, good for you. Well, listen, let's help our audience a little bit. We're doing two shows with you this week and next week to explore this whole area. Let's talk about what nonprofit really means. What is a nonprofit? A lot of people don't understand that. They don't think there can be, you know, companies, organizations, and business that don't make a profit. So how do you describe a nonprofit? I'd love to hear your version of it. What is it?
Oh, actually, that is the best question anybody can ask. And it's one of the reasons I was so excited to be able to participate and talk with you and talk with Jim next week, because nonprofit does not mean no money. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, what do you mean you're not making any profit? The nonprofit status is a unique status that is an incorporation code, actually, incorporation status, I should say, that's in the Internal Revenue Code. So mm-hmm. it's a tax status that you can incorporate as. And what it means is you don't have stockholders and you don't pay dividends. So if you are a nonprofit, it means you're not making a profit in that you're dispersing that money to other people. What it means is you're taking the money that comes in, whether it's donations or revenue from dues or revenue from conference registrations, and you're putting it back into the organization to support the mission. And that's another really big difference about a nonprofit organization, is there's all kinds of nonprofit organizations. Within the Internal Revenue Code itself, there are 27 different types of 501c organizations. The ones that people are most familiar with are 501c3s, which are foundations and charities, right. and 501c6s, which are professional societies or trade associations, or the 501c4. And so the difference with a nonprofit, the really big one, there's two really big ones. One, a nonprofit does not pay dividends or give money to other people, like a for-profit might. And the second thing is it doesn't have to pay federal income taxes.
That's
those are the
difference.
Two differentiators.
Right.
That's a very
so
big
So you
difference.
Do make money.
And
you
third,
can make money, but you pour it all back into the company right. is really what it is.
That is right.
Right.
Into the organization. Exactly.
And you pay
exactly
you pay
difference.
Your staff. I mean, they make salaries and things of that nature, but you just pour all of whatever profits you do get back into the company to help in what you're doing. Why are nonprofits critical to our world? I know you have an opinion on that. What is it?
I definitely do. I have an opinion on those things, Doug, but
okay.
I definitely have one on this. Nonprofits are important because nonprofits are a way that our communities and our society at large can help people directly and individually. And what do I mean by that? Because we live in a world, we have a federal government, we have Social Security, we have unemployment benefits, we have these other things that we can get. But those are very big and far away from where most people are. So when you think about a local church, most churches are nonprofit organizations.
Right.
So a local church can reach out to the people right there in the area. They can give them spiritual support. They can feed them. They might have a soup kitchen or some other thing. You're actually helping the people right where they are. And the other thing a nonprofit does is it fills the gaps that our government can't fill. Because no matter how big we make our government, it can't do everything that needs to get done. And it's also historically, nonprofit organizations are a reflection of some of the ideas that the people who moved to the United States originally brought with them about helping each other, coming together. So for example, people talk a lot about Alexis de Tocqueville's book, Democracy in America. And in that book, de Tocqueville talks about the fact that America's strength is in its groups. Because the groups come together when something needs to get done or if somebody needs help. And that is the historical antecedent of the modern nonprofit community, nonprofit organizations, and what eventually became a profession of nonprofit management, because it is different from managing a for-profit organization. So that's why nonprofits are important, because it is a way for us to fill those gaps of people's needs where they are locally, because a local nonprofit, and yes, you're going to say, well, there's some big nonprofits, right? And that's true. There's a lot of really big nonprofits, but they still help people where they are. And again, fill those gaps. They fill those gaps for camaraderie, networking, education, services, a lot of the different things that people need in a very specific area.
That's a very good explanation. I mean, really, very good. Congratulations. So let's focus on what you do. What does Rogue Tulips Consulting actually do for nonprofit organizations? You help them, right?
Well,
but tell me what you do.
I do. Yeah, so another good question, because you're right. Rogue Tulips Consulting doesn't necessarily scream nonprofit, but it does jump out at you in the marketplace. So
that's true.
So if you look at my website, well, and I had another consultant friend tell me years ago that they loved the name because it didn't use any of the usual words that most consulting companies for nonprofits use.
Right.
But so what do I do? When in any organization, whether for-profit or nonprofit, they're not necessarily going to have all the skills and knowledge and even the element of time to get everything done that might need to get done. So, for example, you might have a special project. One thing a lot of nonprofits like to work with consultants on is research projects, and another big one is strategic planning. And one of the reasons that I offer those services, those are two of the things I do, you want to have somebody come in who's objective, who's not so close to your organization that they can't see things for what they are. And this happens to all of us. So, like, even with my own company, I will ask other people for advice. What do you think? I'm too close to it. What do you think? So when anyone hires an outside person to help them, it's because they don't have that knowledge, they don't have the skill set, or they just need to buy somebody else's time for a while because, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. So one of the things that I can do, because I have so much experience and have worked at several different groups and have worked with a lot of different client groups over the years, is I can bring in a vast array of knowledge and experiences that one organization staff may not have. And so what you can do by hiring somebody like myself is you bring me in, and I bring in all this other information that I've been gathering over the years and add it to what you already know. And then the other benefit is I can put things into context for them that maybe they didn't see as clearly, and then you point it out for them, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're right, we are doing really much better with our chapter relations than we thought. So that's helpful too, because you can come in and tell people, hey, you know, you're actually doing pretty darn good. You're not in a bad place, you're in a good place, so let's keep building
right
on that.
Give me a favor, give me an example of a kind of company or organization. I mean, nonprofits can still be companies, right? Or is that wrong?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Doug. I'm glad you asked that, because we usually use the word organization.
Right.
Because company tends to be a for-profit. So, like, you look at a for-profit, it's an LLC, it's an S-corp, you know, it's a corporation, it's a company.
Right.
But a nonprofit is not a company, and it's because it's not a for-profit, and it's not a corporation because it's not a for-profit. Because they are incorporated, but they are not necessarily a company, because what a nonprofit does is they represent a group of people who have something in common, or they're trying to provide a service to someone. So it's not really a company, because that's why you usually see the term association or foundation, because an association
right
is a very different thing from a company, and an association
right
is a nonprofit, as is a foundation, is also a nonprofit, but they're very different kinds of nonprofits. And so they're not really companies.
Well, cool. I'm glad I asked you that. Let me just get you to point out, give me an example of an organization or foundation, whatever, that you've done work for. And tell me what they do and how you have been able to help them, just, you know, out of the blue. I don't have any names or anything, but so that our listeners can get an idea of what you're talking about, the kind of organization you might be talking about helping.
Oh, sure. So last year I worked with an association for veterinarians on helping them create their next strategic plan. So this group represented veterinarians who do surgery. And they represented people who got a very specific credential within veterinary surgery. So what we did, I collaborated with someone and through my company. And then what we did is we helped them go through where they were, looked at the research, gathered more research that was necessary. And then we walked them through the process of deciding what they wanted to do next. So that's one example. Last fall, I worked with an industry group, a very niche industry group, because they are people who use the U.S. Post Office for business purposes. And so that was, you know, very specific group. They wanted to do a governance tweak. They were coming up on their 75th anniversary, and they said, you know what, it's our 75th anniversary. Let's just look at where we are. Are we in a good shape? Are we in a good place? What do we need to change? And so looking at governance, now governance, for those people in your audience who don't know what that means when we're talking about nonprofit organizations, is that's all of your infrastructure about how you work with your stakeholders, whether they're members or donors or people who buy services from your association or other type of nonprofit. The governance structure is how you make decisions and how you build consensus. So that's your board of directors, your committees, any other volunteer opportunities people have to participate. So it's really important that you have a good, strong one that actually works. And, you know, this client was wonderful to work with because they were in fantastic shape. So another example is I also do speaking engagements. So last summer, I did a presentation for a group that works with people who work in palliative and hospice care, and I gave all of their state and local leaders a presentation about, you know, basically the state of association management at the local level, and so we talked about that. And then also last summer, I gave a printing industry organization a presentation about knowledge management and how it relates to succession planning, because those are two things that are very closely tied together. So those are all very different topics and very different kinds of projects, yet they're all things that nonprofits need to work on and think about.
Well, that's good. You, as I understand it, you have quite an educational program to help organizations that need it. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Oh, sure. So my education program is called the 501C League, and it's offered through my consulting company. And it has a separate website, because years ago when I earned the Certified Association Executive credential back in 2015, and right after I earned it, a friend of mine asked me if I would start mentoring people who wanted to get ready for our exam, because it's a four-hour exam. And it takes you, you know, probably a good 4 months to really get ready for it, because you have to do a lot of studying and question practice and things like that. So over time, I got more involved with that, started mentoring study groups. So like, I volunteered with that. And then next thing you knew, I realized, wow, you know, we need more study groups. We need better study groups. And then we also need some more education. And so one of our requirements for renewal of our credential is an ethics credit. So my company was one of the first ones to come up with an ethics program specifically for nonprofit executives. And that webinar is offered every month. And it's open to anybody who wants to learn about ethics, whether they're on staff, getting ready to take the exam, renewing their credential, or they just want to learn more. It's like I always say to people, or if you're just a curious sort like myself, check out our courses. But our courses help people get ready for the exam, and they also share other information about different aspects of nonprofit organization management. So whether it's how to deal with your chapters or even really wellness issues for senior executives, that's another one that we offer. And knowledge management. We have a knowledge management webinar coming up. So that's why we offer that. And these courses, again, are offered to anybody who is in the nonprofit area, you know, volunteer, staff, or if you have the CAE or not, you can just take one of these courses and just learn something. And we're always updating our content on our courses. So we do an annual review and update of our content. So that it's always up to date, it's always fresh, it keeps us fresh and energized as we're doing these presentations with people. So that's how I ended up developing that education program, is because we needed education for people in our profession. The true heart of the matter is this. Nonprofit management is a real profession. We are not busy bees or people who don't really do that much. It's a real profession that you need real education, real experience, and a really different skill set to succeed in and to help an organization be successful. So the mission of my education program is to elevate our profession by elevating the people who are in it. And that is what we tell everyone. So once you pass the CAE exam, yay, that's fantastic. We're so happy for them. But that's just a stop along the way. It's like, how are you going to be a better professional once you earn that designation, and how are you going to model that professionalism to other people down the road? And that's really why I am so passionate about what I do, because what we do matters, it's important, and we need to make sure that we are standing out in an area where a lot of for-profit companies are saying they are a membership, quote unquote. So there's a lot of competition out there, but what nonprofits do for society is make society a better place. We're not putting money in somebody's pocket necessarily.
Boy, you sound so involved in this and so great. It's such a delight to talk to you. We're talking to Cecilia Sepp. We're rapidly running out of time. The website for her organization, Rogue Tulips Consulting, is exactly that. It's roguetulips.com. If you go there, you'll be able to find out all kinds of information about what Cecilia does with her organization. We didn't mention it, but tell me about Radio Free 501C. You have a lot of podcasts that you do. Your website's full of them there. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope you take a few minutes and listen to a couple, because I have some really interesting guests on, and we have a lot of fun. So my podcast, Radio Free 501C, focuses on topics of interest to people in the nonprofit management profession and the people who love them. So if you're married to somebody in nonprofits, check it out, or you have friends who are in the nonprofit profession. So my podcast is actually coming up on its 200th episode in June. So I encourage people to catch up on our back catalog and look forward to our June 19th episode where we hit number 200. But it's been great. I know we're running out of time, but just very quickly, my friend Agnes Amos Coleman and I started this back in 2019. It had a different name, and this is what it's evolved into. So,
wow. And how often do you do these podcasts? I mean, there are a lot of them. You've been doing these for a long time now, several years, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Since April 2019, this is our fifth season, and I do one a week.
One a week. Good for you.
One a week. Yeah, and I do all the production. Yes, ma'am.
You do? You're a radio veteran. I told you that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just like, yeah, I do it all. I do the guest management, topic selection, the production, and then I have somebody who helps me get the marketing out as well. So sorry, I just get so excited about my podcast, Doug. I jumped right in.
I think that's great. Well, listen, the podcasts, obviously you can find out about them on the website. If you go to the website, which is, again, roguetulips.com. That's a simple name to remember, roguetulips.com. You'll find out about Cecilia, what she does, and where all these podcasts are. And there are a lot of them there you can pick from to listen right there. Cecilia will be back with us again next week to continue exploring this world of 501Cs, nonprofits. Cecilia, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. You're a lovely guest. It's just been great to have you. So thank you so much. Okay?
Oh, well, thank you, Doug. It's been great. I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right. Good enough. We'll see you next week. Same time, everybody.
Okay.
Same time. That's next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Till then, take care. It's been a delight having you with us. Thank you so much, and have a great week until next week. All righty. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care, and bye for now.